with us today. He actually pastors our church in Murfreesboro, and that is Brock Lillis. Brock, come on up here, Big Faith. This is Pastor Brock. Now, Pastor Brock and I have been friends for a long time. We played on the same football team together at Middle Tennessee State University. We got saved at the same time, got called to ministry at the same time, and he actually helped us start the church here in Clarksville. He started our campus ministry along with David Fisher. And so, Brock, so glad to have you today. Father, thank you so much for this man of God. Lord, we just, Lord, prepare ourselves, God, with great expectation, Lord, in what you want to say through this man of God. Lord, cause us to be attentive, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give my man one more big hand clap.
Appreciate it, Tim. Good to see everybody this morning. I'm very excited to be here. And I tell you what, I really am impressed with the new additions and wall knocks out and the new children's facility back there. Just amazing. Why don't you give yourselves a hand for funding that? That was amazing. It's a great job. Looks awesome. The place has changed a lot. And Audrey won't tell you, but I taught her all of her dance moves. In fact, I want her to come and get on her all four so I can do that little one where she got on that girl's back. That was funny. That was awesome. It was beautiful. Guys, I just want to start out by saying that you have a great church and a great leadership here. As Lance already said, I had the privilege of serving here for 4 years, and I knew Lance long before he came here. We were teammates together at Middle and came to Jesus right around the same time and were battle partners for the Lord. And then Pastor Ron, David, and Nancy sort of adopted me into their family right after I got saved and helped to mentor me through all of my many issues that I had. I promise you, I had a bunch of them. One of them was that I was 300 pounds way back then, Pastor Ron. Amen. And then Pastor Richard won't tell you this, but I led him to Jesus, and he snotballed all over one of my jackets one morning at church whenever he gave his life to Jesus, and that thing still got a stain on it, Richard. You owe me, bro. You owe me. And I served here with David for a long time, and there's just a special place in my heart for Clarksville. I love this place. I love the soldiers. If you're a soldier in this room, would you raise your hand? I just appreciate you guys, and I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart that I pray for you, and we support you, and we are just thankful to live and be a part of something like Clarksville. It was some great years of my life, and I'm real excited today. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open it with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We are in a series called Miracles on Tiny Town, and Pastor Lance mentioned that I pastor our church in Clarksville and in Murfreesboro, and I do. But let me explain to you guys a little bit further sort of about who I am and about what you can expect today. At my very nature, I'm an evangelist, which means I go to places and help people believe. If I had to define evangelist that way, that is literally what I feel like one of my main roles in the body of Christ is I help people believe. On a daily basis, I go to places like the university campuses, and I stand up and proclaim at a place where truth may not be accepted. The concept of absolute truth, and that there's one God who's the creator of all things, and there's only one way to Him. You know, that can be very unpopular these days. Amen. But to stand up in that place and to say that our God is alive and that He reigns and that His Son, Jesus Christ, is the way to God and you can come to Him. It's funny that it's like stirring a wasp nest. Some people get mad and things, but in the middle of all that, some people believe. And we see miracles happen, amen? And I want to prepare you right now that I'm here today to help you believe in Jesus in a greater way, amen? At the end of the day, that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you believe in Jesus for your marriage. I'm here to help you believe in Jesus for your body. I'm here to help you believe in Jesus to save you. I'm here to help you believe that Jesus can change your mind. I'm here to help you believe that Jesus Christ has got your future and that there's no need of being afraid if you've got Jesus. Amen. And I need you to help me this morning, okay? So if I say something that really resonates with you, it's all right. It's church. You can say amen, okay? And so that is permissible in this place, all right? And so we're going to read a story that's very familiar, but I hope it's not so familiar that it loses its real power in your life. I look around in this room, and I see people who their life was forever changed by Jesus. I'm one of them. And I pray, and even as I would just say this prophetically as I was sitting on the front row, I believe one of the miracles that Jesus wants to do this morning is He might want to call many of us back to our first love. that God wants you to fall in love with him all over again. He wants you to believe in him again. He wants you to trust in him again. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 26. And I'm going to preach a message to you, and I believe it's going to help you today. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there's going to be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I've never known a man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and now this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Every year around this time, if you're any, especially the ladies in the room, if you're anything like my wife, the TV stays on Hallmark Channel 24/7. Come on. And you watch those sappy little Christmas movies where you already know the ending before it starts. There's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a little relational spat, but they're always going to get back together and it's going to be all right, right? There's something about Christmas where it just makes us think about this sense of wonder. And for many of us, we think that it's a dreamland that doesn't really exist out there somewhere. I don't know about you guys, but every Christmas Eve, I always watch Miracle on 34th Street. That's where you got to end, right? Just something about that movie is great. Well, this morning, I want to preach a message to you called, not a miracle on 34th Street, but a miracle on your street. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you can have a miracle on your street. You can have a miracle on your street. I just want to turn to the other one, even if you don't know him now, and say, he's talking to you too. Say, you can have a miracle on your street. And I say that as an announcement because many times we come with no expectation that God wants to do anything in our life. But I can tell you, for every person in this room, God wants to move on you in a special way this morning in this service. Amen. And that's what we find happening to Mary here. This is an amazing story that God shows up, sends his angel to where this girl Mary is. Now, let me explain Mary to you. Many of us have gotten the wrong picture of Mary because we saw the wrong picture on Grandma's table about what Mary looked like. You know, this very beautiful ambiance glowing around Mary, and there's this child with little white clothes on, and we get the picture that that's what it was really like in Mary's life. But can I tell you that that is not what it looked like for Mary? That Mary, because she was betrothed, which means this, she had an arranged marriage. Her parents decided... Her parents decided who she was going to marry, and she had no say-so in it. His name happened to be Joseph. All betrothals happened between the age of 13 and 16, which tells us this. Mary was 13 to 16 years old. Then the angel shows up and says, "Mary, you're about to be pregnant with God." Come on, parents, what would that make you feel like? 13 to 16 years old. And God is showing up at an unexpected time to an unexpected person saying, "I love to take unexpected people and unexpected times and places and show my glory in their life and do something amazing in them." You're sitting in this room right now. You say, God would never want to do anything for me. I'm just a normal guy. I'm just a normal gal. I came from podunk, nothing, nowhere. Guess what? That's the way Nazareth was. Nazareth would be much like living in Dover. You know, or it would be like going out to Sango or somewhere like that. It would be like, sorry, Lance. Or it would be like going over to Guthrie or somewhere like that. That's how Nazareth would be. But God chose to go to a hick town called Nazareth and show up to a teenage girl who was poor, a poor peasant girl. this shows us a lot about what God is like, doesn't it? That God's not a respecter of persons, that he chooses whom he chooses to show his glory in their life. And I love this story because Jesus is conceived in a miraculous way. Let me say this to you. I believe this miracle paves the way for all other miracles. I believe that because God came to a virgin. How many people know that it's humanly impossible to be pregnant if you've never been touched by a man? Humanly impossible, especially at that time. No medical help, no in vitro. Hello. Okay? But I love this story, and I want to release faith for miracles in your life because that's exactly what happened in the life of Mary. God showed up to a virgin and says, because people are in such a state where they need a miracle. How many people in this room would say you've ever been in a place where you needed a miracle? Some of you need a miracle right now. Some of you need a miracle in your marriage. Some of you need a miracle in your mind. Some of you need a miracle in your body. Some of you need a miracle in your whole outlook about your future. And I'm here to tell you today that if you need a miracle, you're in the right place because we serve the God of miracles. His name is Jesus Christ. And some of you, the greatest miracle is that you're going to believe again this morning. You're going to believe again this morning. And here's what I want us to look at, and I want us to pay attention to how God shows up and what he begins to say. And many of us, for miracles, it can be this sort of deal where we don't really know what we're talking about. Yesterday, my kids were playing in the backyard, and it was getting close to dark, and they wanted some neighborhood friends to come over, and so my wife consented and allowed them to run across our neighborhood to go get their friends to come and play in our backyard. And so the big kids really wanted to sneak out without the little kids seeing them go because they knew that would slow them down. And so Mia and Braxton and Knox, they take off thinking that my little man Maddox, you know, I got five kids. We believe in being fruitful and multiplying, okay? But my little man Maddox saw him sprinting down the street. And so he took off after him because, you know, he wants to go anywhere the big kids are going to go. And Mia and Braxton, to try to get him not to go, issued him a threat. And they said, Maddox, you're going to get grounded if you come. And I just saw him shake his head, and he kept on running. He said, I don't even know what grounded means. Literally, no joke. He said, I don't even know what grounded means, so it obviously can't hurt me. And for many of us, miracles, we don't ever see a miracle because we really don't know what one is. And this morning, I want to show us what a miracle is. And if I had to define miracle, I would define it this way. A miracle is a supernatural occurrence when God's power breaks into our situation, breaking the laws of nature in order to break us out from the hand of death, darkness, or the devil. So let me say it this morning, that if you or anything in your life is being characterized by death, darkness, or the devil, Jesus wants to break you out from it this morning. And even if what is considered death, darkness, or the devil in your life seems humanly impossible, I'm here to tell you that we serve a God of miracles who can step in no matter what any human has ever told you. Amen. No matter what the doctor said, Jesus is the great physician. No matter what the psychiatrist said, he said you got a sound mind. No matter what the marriage counselor said, you can be mended this morning. Amen. You can be changed because we serve the God of miracles. Let's watch how this story unfolds. The angel shows up, and I want you to watch his greeting to Mary in verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, watch his first word, rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. When God begins to work in your life, it's something to rejoice about, amen? Many people have the wrong conception about God, that they think that serving God is going to be this boring, humdrum kind of a lifestyle that they don't want any part of, especially men. But I can tell you from experience that whenever Jesus begins to work in your life, it's something to rejoice about. In fact, I'm real excited right now. And if any point in this moment I say, let's stop and let's take a praise break, what that means is we need to clap our hands and just begin to rejoice in God because we serve a good God, amen? In fact, let's take a praise break right now. Can we just clap our hands and thank God that he's here, that you're here? Then he said, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, Mary didn't come from a place where she would ever think that she's favored. I'm a poor peasant girl. I don't have much of a future, but here God says, I think something about you that you would never think about yourself. You got to hear me this morning, guys. God only thinks good thoughts about you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. What favored means is this, chosen. Hear me this morning. If you're here today, you're chosen by God. You're chosen to hear this message. You're chosen to be here right now, and that's something to rejoice about. Then he said, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you. When God gets ready to work in your life, he will first send that voice saying, hey, I'm with you. You're not alone. Look at me, friends. Look at me, soldiers. You've never been alone. Wives with deployed husbands. Look at me. You've never been alone. You need to resolve that in your heart right now. I'm not alone. Because we serve the God, Emmanuel, who is God. Who is God with us. Okay? And then he said in verse 28, blessed are you among women. Blessed means to be in a state that is to be where congratulations are in order. God shows up to Mary and rocks her world. And he says, rejoice. You're favored, meaning I've chosen you. My hand is on you because I'm with you. You're blessed among all women. Because what I'm about to tell you is going to make you the most blessed woman that ever lived. You're going to be the mother of the Son of God. Now he gets ready and he says, now don't be afraid. Because listen to me, anytime God is getting ready to work a miracle, he's going to tell us something to where two things can happen. Either I'm going to fear or I'm going to operate in faith. God was about to tell Mary something absolutely impossible in her eyes. And he says this, behold, you're going to conceive. That would have been fine, all except she wasn't married. And she didn't plan on engaging intimately with Joseph until she was married. She was a Jewish girl. It was forbidden. It's not like our culture, okay, where though it's forbidden by God, we try to make it acceptable. It's wrong, okay? And I want you to watch what happens. And here's where I want to get into the meat of this message this morning. And this is where I want to help you the most. And yes, I'm going to preach, but ultimately, I want to teach you this morning how to see a miracle on your street. The reason why God had to come in a miraculous way, guys, is listen to this. Because all of us need a miracle in our life. Everybody look at me. And the biggest miracle is this. The biggest miracle that God wants to do in your life is change your heart. And I'm here to tell you that we serve the God who's into changing people's hearts. I'm living proof. I grew up in Mississippi where racism was the norm. See? And I showed up to MTSU to play football, and only people that would preach to me were black people. And you know what? I showed up to a service that I got invited to, and the first time I heard this gospel preaching the way that I'm preaching it to you this morning, I got a heart change. I met Jesus, and I got saved. And here's what God did. God took hate out and just infused love right there in a moment. And it's almost like God gave me this inner brother chip. Though I got white skin, I got soul on the inside. It's like God imparted it. I got an impartation. I got an impartation from God, okay, from that. And he took hate out and he put love in. And I'm telling you, that's the biggest miracle. I didn't wake up at MTSU saying, hey, I think I'm going to go start loving people today. And I didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm done lusting. That's over with in my life. Can I go ahead and tell every person in this room, you can't choose to start loving and you can't choose to stop lusting. God's got to take it out and put love and his spirit in. And that's what he does. And that's what he can do this morning. Many of you have been trying hard to change yourself. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. You need a miracle. And salvation is the biggest miracle. And he can do it in your life today. Amen. He can do it in your life. Mary asked this question. How can these things be? Verse 34, how can these things be? And in essence, what she's about to hear is how to have a miracle in your life. I want you to listen to a quote from C.S. Lewis talking about miracles and why God had to come in a miraculous way. He said this, in the Christian story, God descends to reascend. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down further still, if the embryologist is right, to recapitulate in the womb ancient and pre-human phases of life, down to the very roots and seabed of the nature he created. But he goes down to come up again and to bring a whole ruined world up with him. Y'all hear what I just said? That this is miraculous, and this is why we believe in God, and this is the reason why we believe in Jesus, is because every other religion says this: try hard to come up to God. Try hard to be good enough to God. Try hard to do your Hail Marys right and make sure that you say your prayers in the right way. But here's what the Christian message is, guys, and here's why I'll hang my hat on Jesus, is because the Christian message says God, because he loved you and me so much, came down to the very lowest place. He came to the womb of a woman. He came to cell form, and he grew by the Spirit of God, and he was birthed from the womb of a woman. He was nursed from the breast of a woman. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to drink. He had to learn how to use the bathroom. He had to learn how to obey. But here's what I love about Jesus, is that the whole time God was saying, I'm into my creation. I'm into my people, and I'm coming to do a miracle in their life. And here's what God did. He came in the form of a human to live the life we should have lived and to die the death we should have died. They put his body in a tomb, and on the third day, Jesus Christ was resurrected, and now he offers anybody who will repent and believe a miracle. New life. New life. You can have new life this morning because Jesus came. That's the miracle of this story, is that he came to the lowest form, and now he sits at the highest place, and if we'll do the same, we can have the same gift. We got to bow our knee, though. Amen. Got to bow your knee to Jesus. And here's how a miracle happens. Mary says, how can these things be? And then the angel tells us how to have a miracle. Now look at me. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what your need is this morning. But I know this, that God's getting ready to step in and do something in your life. Amen. I didn't come down here to preach a cute message and leave and make you clap. I came down here because I'm believing for a miracle in your life. Everybody look at me. Some of you are here and you've been playing religion and you've been playing church, and Jesus is going to ask you to take a step for him this morning. Some of you have been considering God, but you've never taken a step for God. He's going to call you to himself this morning. Many of you, even as we began to sing today, you felt a stir in your heart like you've never felt in a long time. It's God. He's moving in your life. Some of you have been touched by God, but you've walked away from God, and you're going to come back this morning. Some people, you've never asked anybody to pray for your body, and you're sick, and you need a healing. We're going to pray this morning, and we believe God's going to touch people. Amen? Anybody in faith with me right now? Can we have a little praise break then? Let's just have a little praise break then. I'm setting you up because I know God's getting ready to move. Okay? How can these things be? Verse 35, then the angel answered and said to her, what's the first three words the angel said to Mary? Y'all say it real loud. The devil don't want you to say it. Say it again. The first thing that has to happen in your life, and I've got 3 points for you this morning. If you want a miracle on your street, you got to know this. Number one, the power of the Holy Spirit always initiates. Everybody say initiates. The Holy Spirit predates every miracle. The Holy Spirit is the one that does it. Let me remind you that it's the Holy Spirit who even draws you before you're saved to let you know that you need a Savior. You didn't know you were lost until the Holy Spirit showed you. You didn't know you needed God until something started to happen in your mind and in your spirit to let you know that you need God. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ never worked a miracle until after he was touched by the Holy Spirit in his baptism. All miracles are predated by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Then after 40 days of fasting, he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what Jesus began to do. He began to save people. He began to cast out demons. And he began to heal people. And guess what? He's still doing that today. He has not changed. We still serve the God of miracles. We still serve the God who heals. We still serve the God who, if you hear voices, he can silence them. The Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here this morning because he wants to move in our lives. In fact, Jesus lived his life doing miracles. And here's what the beloved disciple John said about him in John 21, verse 25. He says this: "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written because of the things that he did." So check this out. Jesus Christ was anointed by the Spirit at the age of 30. Watch. He died at the age of 33. And here's John, the beloved disciple, and in his gospel he writes, "The Holy Spirit so anointed Jesus that if I were to write every miracle one by one, I would have to write so many books that the world couldn't contain it in 3 years." And the Bible says that he's the God that doesn't change. So let me say this to you this morning, Bethel. If you believe in the Jesus of the Bible, miracles aren't just possible for you. They're probable for you. It's one thing to say, "Oh yeah, a miracle's possible." But everybody look at me. I'm believing to release a spirit in this church today where the people of Bethel Community Church walk around saying, "My miracles are probable. Miracles are probable in my life. I am not bound to what people say. I'm bound to what God says." Amen. All because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you with his Spirit today. I'm liking it. Y'all getting some faith now. Amen. Y'all getting some faith. Secondly, the power of the Spirit initiates, but then watch this in verse 37 and 38. Mary said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, verse 38, "Behold the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your," let it be to me according to your. How to have a miracle on your street begins with the Holy Spirit initiating. But my second point is this, is that to have a miracle on your street, yes, the Holy Spirit must initiate, but the Word, the power of the Word activates. The Spirit and Word always work together. Let me take you back to creation. The Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the deep. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light. Meaning this, because the Holy Spirit was there, a miracle was ready. But a miracle didn't happen until the Word came into the Spirit. See, here's the deal. We believe in the Bible here at Bethel. We believe it's the true, inspired Word of God. We believe everything in the Bible. If my circumstances don't line up with the Bible, I don't ask the Bible to change, I change. Amen? And here's the deal. The Word is powerful. In fact, John, the beloved disciple, said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and without him nothing was made that was made." Watch. Then John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 14 says this: "And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us." And then we watch Jesus. Watch. When you watch Jesus do a miracle, you will watch him operate by the initiating power of the Holy Spirit and the activating power of the Word of God. Y'all remember that story where Jesus told the disciples, "Let's cross over the Sea of Galilee and go to the other side"? They got into the boat. They were on the way. Jesus was in the stern asleep because he knew, if I said it, we're going. All of a sudden, a storm came up. Anybody ever had a storm in your life? Anybody ever felt like you were on course with God and all of a sudden a storm happens? A storm happened. And the disciples were fishermen, and it was such a bad storm. We know it was a bad storm because these were fishermen, and all of a sudden they were fearing for their life. They said, "Jesus, get up. We're going to perish." These hardcore fishermen all of a sudden sounded like sissies. And Jesus woke up, probably a little bit disturbed that his power nap was messed up, and says, "Why are you fearful, oh you of little faith?" Not the real nice Jesus we were thinking about, was it? He called them scaredy cats. And he said, "You don't have any faith." And then he said, "Let me show you what faith looks like." He walks out on the stern of that boat, and he looks at that storm, and he says, what? "Peace, be still." What did Jesus do? He initiated a miracle by activating the word. Everybody look at me. If you're going to see miracles in your life, you're going to have to line your word up with what God's word says. Amen. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Those who love it are going to eat its fruit. If you are looking at your marriage and it's dead, stop talking to people about how dead your marriage is and start telling people, you know what? It's been looking bad, but guess what? God's on my side and God lives in me and we're going to have a new marriage. Amen. If you're looking around and your body, everything in your body says, I'm sick. Look at me. You say, well, Pastor, you're preaching real faith. Guess what? I'm absolutely preaching faith that you can have what you say this morning. Because Jesus said you can have what you say. Mark 11, 23 and 24. If any of you says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and doesn't doubt but believe, he will have whatever he says. What is a mountain? Everybody look at me. A mountain is anything in your life that opposes God and his will. What would your life look like, Bethel, if you stopped talking about how big your mountain was and started talking about how big your God is to the mountain? You know what would happen? Look at me. Things would start to change. Things would start to change. And this morning, I want you to understand that whenever you speak God's word out of your mouth, you're activating miracle power. Miracle power. The word of God cannot be bound. Amen. Lastly, I'm going to end with this point. Number one, the power of the Holy Spirit initiates. Number two, the power of the word activates. And then number three, we've got to understand that the power of faith appropriates. Look at me. God isn't asking for your permission this morning. He's God, amen? Last time I checked, God's God. He doesn't need our permission, but look at me, Bethel. What he is looking for is our cooperation. I believe the reason why he chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus is because she was a young person who would have childlike faith. And I want you to notice the words of Mary after God had said, behold, you're going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to be the son of the highest. He's going to sit on the throne of David. She knew that he was talking about the long-awaited Messiah. Here's what she was hearing. Mary, you're going to be the Messiah's mom. And she said, Lord, I really don't understand. How can these things be? The angel said the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. The power of the Most High is going to come upon you. And then the angel said, for with God, nothing's going to be impossible. And Mary's response is, I'm the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said, according to your word. What she did, guys, was she appropriated the promise through saying yes to what God says. Listen to me this morning, Bethel. If you need a miracle in your life, the Holy Spirit's already been initiating. He's already been working it. You're here this morning, aren't you? In fact, as we were singing and as I've been preaching, many of you, God's began to whisper to you, hey, your case isn't over yet. Your file isn't done yet. I'm bringing it back out. There's something I still want to do in your life. There's a work that I still got for you. Some of you have gotten off course and you thought, well, I guess God's mad at me and I guess God will never use me. Look, quite the contrary. Stop listening to the devil and start listening to God and just say yes to him this morning. It's time to appropriate the promises of God by faith in your life. You say, what does that look like? What's it look like? It looks like this. Whenever you face something that seems humanly impossible, the Spirit's going to tell you, no, it is possible. And then you're going to find promises in the Word that says that it's possible, and you're going to cooperate with God. Amen? I was diagnosed with a disease whenever I was in Clarksville that I did not tell many of you about. I woke up one morning to go to the restroom at my house whenever we lived in Clarksville. And it felt like I was walking on jagged gravel real bad. I could hardly even make it to the restroom. I thought, man, I must have sprained something, did something. kept on for about 2 weeks. Then the pain started to migrate to other joints of my body. And I started to go to doctors, and doctors were giving me steroids and different things. Nothing was working. Nobody could get to the bottom of it. I finally get an appointment at Vanderbilt, and, you know, that's the best doctor, supposedly. And they do these blood tests on me and stuff and basically come back into the room and say, you have rheumatoid arthritis, early onset. You'll probably be crippled. It's debilitating, and there's no cure. I was a strong man. I played football. I loved playing with my kids, but my joints hurt so bad that I couldn't even pick my babies up at times. It hurt very bad to have somebody shake my hand, and there was this one guy in the church that just believed in shaking your hand real hard, and I literally would come to church dreading it because this dude, Derek Burnett, he would shake my hand so hard that I'd literally almost cry sometimes. But I remember sitting there at the Vanderbilt office, listen to this, and hear me, I'm gonna preface what I'm about to say with this. I believe in physicians, I believe in doctors, and I thank God for medicine most of the time. I sat there in that office, and the doctor said, we're going to have to start you on this drug called methotrexate. It's a cancer drug. It suppresses the immune system. It's supposed to suppress your immune system where your joints don't hurt so bad. But something happened whenever she said that, and I just felt in my spirit, the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit initiates. The Holy Spirit just whispered to me, don't do it. I'm going to heal you. And I said, ma'am, I know you're not going to understand this. This was a very smart Vanderbilt doctor. I said, ma'am, I know you're not going to understand this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that. I believe God's going to heal me. I walked out the office, and I go on this about year and a half long journey, okay? And here's what it looked like for me. And my wife didn't even know that I was doing this, but I would get up at like 4:30 in the morning when normal people don't get up, you know? And I'd go out in my garage, and I would sit there in my garage, and I would just put on worship music, and I'd start worshiping God. Even though my body hurt, I started worshiping God. I started lifting up Jesus' name. Just me and Jesus, just me and Jesus. And I would just start singing, and I can't sing. I would just start singing to God and worshiping God. And then I did this thing where I got Mark 11:23, and I took it, and I said, God, you said if there's a mountain in my life and I speak to it, that it's got to move if I speak to it in your name. So I started to do something that many would consider crazy, but I got results. Amen. I started to talk to rheumatoid arthritis as if it were a mountain that's got to be removed. And I would walk around in my garage, and sometimes the spirit would come on you, and you'll just get a big fighting spirit on you. And I'd just say, you know what? Body, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Immune system, I speak to you. I command you to be healed and whole in Jesus' name. Then I'd say, rheumatoid arthritis, Jesus is greater than you, and you're going to bow your knee to Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, right now that I'm healed by your very stripes. You died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and I'm healed by your stripes. And I'm appropriating it by faith right now. You know what happened? I spoke that and hurt for a year. But I thanked God that I was healed before I saw anything. You know what happened? About a year later, the symptoms started to subside, and here I am about 9 years later. Boy, I'm limber. I don't have no pain in my body. What are you saying? I'm saying this, that Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Now listen, I don't know how he's going to work in your life, but I know this, that if his word says it and his spirit initiated, all he needs is somebody that'll say, I believe it, Lord. I believe it right now. I believe it right now for my life. Let's stand up to our feet right now. I want to invite our keyboard player to come. Let me explain faith to you guys. And it won't be hard for you guys to remember this. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. It's an action. Look at me, everybody. A-C-T. Faith acknowledges God's ability. Look at me. What God's looking for from you this morning is, will you acknowledge that I'm able? Does anybody in this room believe God's able? He's able. If he's able to create the world with a word, surely he's able to perform a miracle in your life. If he's able to bring 1 million people through the Red Sea as on dry ground, surely he can move in our life. If he's able to come into the womb of a virgin and be born, surely he can move in my life. If he's able to cast demons out, surely he can move in my life. If he was raised from the dead, surely he can still work a miracle in my life. Acknowledge his ability. See? Watch. Consent to his will. Look at me. Some of you are in a place where you are not in the will of God. And faith for you this morning is saying, I'm not in God's will, I'm in my will, but I'm consenting to his will this morning. Mary said, I'm just the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you've said. Look at me, Bethel. Are you submitted to Jesus this morning? I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to married people. Look at me. I'm talking to you from my heart. I'm talking to single people. I'm talking to college students. Are you God's servant? This morning, the greatest miracle is he wants to turn your life around. He wants to give you a new heart. He can save you today. And then T is this. Thank God before your circumstances ever change. Faith, look at me. Faith thanks God when all it has is the word. God, all I got is you and what you said, and I'm going to thank you for it right now. Body sick, body hurting, but I thank you that I'm healed. Finances in a wreck, but I thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh. Marriage in shambles, but I thank you that you're Jehovah Shalom, peace in my home. Come on, husbands, I'm talking to you right now. Stop talking to your wife about how bad she is and start worshiping God in your home for a new marriage. It's the power of the Spirit. I wonder if right now we could everybody just raise our hands up to God and surrender. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I invite you into this room right now. Can everybody just do that in your own life right now, in your own way? Just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you. I invite you to move. I invite you to have your way, Spirit. Men and women in this room need you, God. Many have struggled with life itself. Some have even contemplated taking their own life. But right now, I declare that you're the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. I declare they're not going to die but live and declare what God's done. I am rebuking every foul spirit in this place right now in Jesus' name. I speak to suicide. I command you to be broken in Jesus' name. I speak to depression, lies, and voices that come. I speak to the lie that you don't have a sound mind. I break it in Jesus' name. Come on, we got to let God work a miracle right now. Holy Spirit, we just want you to move and have your way right now, Lord. I pray that you would awaken the hardened heart again, God. I pray right now in Jesus' name that your mighty life, the life of the Spirit, would flow in this house. We welcome you to flow and move. Just close your eyes and start worshiping Jesus right now. Come on, everybody together. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We magnify you, Jesus. Either he's God or he's not. I'm going to choose to believe he's God. And if he's God, he deserves worship. He deserves worship right now. This is his house. This is God's house. Lord, we honor you. This is bigger than a tradition. This is bigger than we've got our little set service and we got to get. Listen, God's here right now and he wants to move in your life. Lord, I thank you that what the enemy meant for bad, you can make it good right now as we worship you. Here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to put your hands down, but I want your heads bowed. If you're in this place right now, God is here. God is here. And there's some of you that need to get saved. You need to give your heart to God. You've never trusted him. You've never stepped over the line. You've never repented. You've never really believed. Listen, I'm not asking, are you religious? I'm not asking, did you go to church growing up? I'm asking, do you know God? Have you surrendered to him? Are you in his will? And here's what we're going to do right now. If you're in this place and you need to give your life to God, this is the biggest miracle. This is the biggest miracle, a new heart. God says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Meaning this, your life can go a new direction and you can have peace in your life this morning. You can have forgiveness. Why walk out of this place condemned when you can have forgiveness right now? I still believe in forgiveness. I still believe in the blood. I don't know about y'all, but there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in the blood. And 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel was hung high and stretched wide on an old rugged cross, and he shed his blood, not so that we could play church, but so that he could have our heart. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus and you want to give your heart to him and you want to repent and give your life to him, I want you to raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you all across this room. We're not playing games with God. Lift them up both to Jesus right now. Lift up both hands to him right now. Male, female, young, old, black, white. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me as white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If your hands are raised right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. In fact, congregation, we're going to pray this prayer with every person in this room. I want you to pray it out loud with me right now. Father, say it out loud. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe the gospel that I heard this morning, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He lived the life I should have lived. He died the death I should have died. He was buried on the third day. He arose. And right now, I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. Lord, from this day forward, I'll worship you, I'll love you, and I'll serve you. I repent of my sins, and I thank you that they're now forgiven in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Bethel, could we rejoice right now? Could we rejoice right now in Jesus? Hallelujah! All of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. One sinner, when one sinner repents. When one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. You're here this morning, you're saved, but you need a miracle, whether it be a healing in your body, your marriage, whatever it might be. You're in a place where you need a miracle. I want to extend my faith with yours right now. But if you need a miracle in your life and you'd like to receive prayer, could you just slip your hand up right where you are? It's a couple of hundred people in here. It's hard to pray for everybody, but you know what? There's faith in the room for healing and miracles right now. There's power in that mighty name. Close your eyes right now. I don't know what your miracle is, but God does. And right now, instead of thinking about the miracle you need, I want you to attach the name of Jesus to that miracle. Acknowledge that Jesus has the power. Jesus, you have the power. In fact, if you're standing around somebody with their hand raised, why don't you just reach out and lay a hand on them right now? That's what we do in church. It's all right. Nobody's going to do something weird or crazy. We're extending our faith right now. Lord, if there's healings that need to happen in the room, I pray for healing right now. Lord, women who want to have babies, who the doctor said their womb is barren, I thank you that I'm going to hear a testimony this morning. I can have a baby. Aha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive it right now. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. I break the curse of barrenness in Jesus' name. I renounce barrenness. I break the curse and I loose the life of God over every womb in this room in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you've cursed yourself, stop. In fact, if you're a woman who wants to be pregnant, I want you to lay your hand on your own womb right now. Just lay your hand on your womb. Just bless. I bless this womb. 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 It's natural to want a baby. It's a good thing to want a baby. Babies are a blessing from God. Lord, and I pray for this church to be fruitful and multiply in that way in Jesus' name. Lord, let this be the morning that the miracle takes place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you for a new report, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just bind cancer. I bind premature death in Jesus' name. I declare with long life will you satisfy us and show us your salvation in this room. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I release the gift and spirit of faith in Bethel right now. Let's all just raise our hands and worship Jesus right now. God wants to impart something to you. He's here. Well, I wish I could have Pastor Ron sing "He's Here" right now. What I'm trying to tell you is he's here. Jesus is here. He'll break a yoke. He'll lift a burden. I'm talking to soldiers. I'm talking to soldiers with a heavy burden because of what you've seen. I'm telling you, Jesus can make the bitter things sweet. You throw the cross in the water, the bitter thing becomes sweet. Lord, I pray for a sweetness to come on every soldier right now. Lord, they know I'm not talking about a sissiness, but a sweetness, Lord, a love for Jesus, a love for people, a tender warrior in Jesus' name. Speak in this place, Lord. Just thank you for it right now. Some of your heart is getting touched right now. You hadn't felt God in a long time. But he's here right now. Just surrender to him. Submit to Jesus. Part of submitting is letting him come into the little world that you've created where you're in control of everything. You're not in control. He's in control. It's good to be out of control sometimes, you know. That's what it means to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He's in control, not me. Father, I bless this congregation. I speak the wonderful name of Jesus over them. I pray let your favor surround them like a shield. Give your angels charge over them, Lord. I speak peace into every marriage. I declare every child represented is going to know and worship Jesus. I prophesy over them. I welcome the angels of God over them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in a wicked and perverse generation, I pray that the Bethel kids would love God and be on fire for God and worship God in Jesus' name. Lord, in a city that's racked by divorce, we break the spirit of divorce. We don't agree with divorce. We agree with Jesus. We agree with covenant. We agree with staying together. In Jesus' name. God, I give you praise and I trust you with everything you did this morning. Amen.
Come on, let's give God one more big hand clap. Thank you so much, champ.